Jesus brought the good news of peace to you who are far away from him. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. You are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are currently joined together in him, being a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you are also being made part of the dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. I messed up one part there, but let's look at this next verse here. You just follow along as I read this. It says, this is the first disciples. This is out of Matthew chapter 4. I'm beginning a new series today, and this is where it's coming from. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." Let me read that again. "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." They left their nets at once and followed him. Verse 21, a little further up shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting on the boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets. And he called to them too. They immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. Lord, I just pray that you would bless and anoint this message this morning. God, I feel like you're still calling people today the same way you called out to those two sets of brothers. They're fishing, they're mending their nets, Lord. I still believe that you're still walking along, and Lord, you're still compelling people, hey, come and follow me. I want to teach you some things. I want to show you some things. I want to teach you how to fish beyond what you can do in the natural. I want to teach you how to do this in the spirit realm. And Lord, I just pray that you would anoint this. Let this be cemented in each and every one of our hearts. I ask, Lord, the same way you put it in my heart, let me convey it to this people this morning. Oh Lord, we love you and we bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray. Amen. Amen. You may take a seat. I've entitled this message, Catch and Release. Catch and release. Now, somebody, they actually saw my slide yesterday. They saw the graphic and they said, "Pastor, you may need to explain to people what catch and release is, because what I've heard, and correct me if this is not accurate, but see, in the mainland, they have something called catch and release. Right, you go to certain lakes, rivers, places in the ocean, whatnot, and it's catch and release only. You cannot keep anything. Now here, you guys have like poke and cook and eat, right? Poke them, cook them, eat them. Maybe it's just poke them and eat them, right? Uncle Kiyoki was telling us about how he'd go out in the ocean, grab a fish, and, well, he was talking, was it your grandkids or something? You know, they catch a fish. He'd grab the fish even before they took it off the line and take a bite out of it, and it's awesome, okay? But just so you know what catch and release is this is a, you know, you catch a fish, and then you have to release it. And I think this provides some neat parallels for us, and I'm gonna pull out of the verse that we just read. But I want to prime your heart with something. You know, God dropped. I just woke up with a word on my heart, and just felt like this is what I needed to begin the message with, is just this word, opportunity. Everybody say opportunity. Opportunity is you know, we all have opportunity, right? We're still at the very beginning of this year. And I'm telling you, church, the opportunities that lay before us are incredible. We just started the Olympics this last week. Anybody passionate about the Olympics? Anybody care about the Olympics? It's pretty entertaining to watch. And I know we're going to see some heroes rise up. We're going to hear some neat stories just like we did a couple years ago. I still remember, Simone Biles and some of these that were just like, man, their story's incredible. And we're still, you know, talking about them, and people are wanting to adopt because of what came out of the Olympics a couple years ago. Right now, Can you imagine what these athletes are feeling as they're in the opening ceremonies, as they're just beginning in their events? They're wondering, am I going to get the gold medal? Is somebody going to hear my story? Is somebody going to hear what has happened in my life? And I'm telling you, they are just oozing with opportunity. Now, the thing is, you fast forward a couple weeks, and we're going to see over these next few weeks as the Olympic Games go on, there's going to be individuals who take full advantage of that opportunity. They're going to get the medal. They're going to get recognition. People are going to hear their story. They're going to be inspired by their life. And then there's going to be others who don't make the cut. Now, I don't feel like God is going to be so harsh to us, like, if you don't get serious about this, you're not going to make the cut. As long as you're saved, as long as you're going after Jesus, I'm telling you, church, your opportunities this year are limitless. The opportunities, if we would take advantage of them, and so this is the heart with which I want to come to you this morning with this word, this thought about catching and releasing. The Bible talks, it gives several references to the lost. You know, it talks about the harvest, how the harvest is plentiful in Matthew 9. You know, and it talks about lost sheep. You know, sheep can represent people and believers in Luke 15. Another one out of Luke 15 was the lost coin. You know, sometimes you can view people as like a treasure just waiting to be found. But I like this image, and this is what we're going to run with for the next couple weeks, is this idea of a fisherman. An idea of a fish. I've got a nice big sea bass there, but this is an awesome picture, that of a fisherman. You know, I want to. Here's my first point this morning, and you'll see this in the verse. It was that Jesus fished. Everybody say Jesus fished. This is you know, really awesome. So Jesus is walking along, and this is what he says to his disciples. We read the verse just a moment ago. Maybe this will go. Jesus called out to them, "Come and follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." Now, I don't know what you think when you hear that, but I just picture Jesus walking down and walking along the shoreline and seeing these individuals. And what do you suppose Jesus was thinking about when he saw those individuals? I thought about this, and my first instinct is, and even when I'm going down the street and when I see somebody who's outside of the church, outside of Christ, my first thought is about their eternal soul. Are these people saved? If Jesus were to return, if their soul was required of them tonight, do they know where they stand with Jesus? Are they right with him? Are they lost? Are they found? And I'm sure that was a part, you know, Jesus, he came on a rescue mission. The Bible says that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And church, I commit to you, it's the reason, even as we were praying through our core values and the things that we're going to get serious about, one of the things that we will always be serious about is the Great Commission. We will always keep the Great Commission first and foremost in our lives, and that deals with seeing the lost come in. We're always going to be serious. If we don't have new people coming into the church, if we don't have lost people, if we don't have people coming into the house that you're a little nervous, I don't know if I want to leave my family alone with that guy. You know, we need some people like that are coming into the house of God that we can watch the Lord absolutely radically change and transform. We need some people that, I mean, I was sitting next to a guy, we were flying from Dallas, and I had about the most foul-mouthed, just knucklehead of a kid just sitting next to me. I mean, he's an electrician. He was coming here. He's going to steal this girl away from her dad here in Hawaii, and, you know, he's telling me this whole story, and just cussing up a storm and all this. I mean, he knows that I'm a pastor. I mean, it was like the second thing that came out of my mouth. Oh, what do you do for a living? I'm a pastor. I pastor a church in Lahaina, and he's just like, he's talking about, oh, so you were doing this in Dallas, and then you're like, and he cusses, and you're like, oh, I'm moving to Hawaii to pastor a church. Like, he's cussing as he's describing my life, and I'm just like, this guy just has no idea. But you know what? I didn't rebuke him. I didn't get harsh with him. There were even people, I don't even think these guys were saved, but they turn around and they just look at us, look at him in particular, and I mean, he's ordering drinks and all this kind of stuff, and I'm just loving on this guy. I'm just encouraging him. I'm like, you know, if you want to make a good impression on your father, you know, hope to be a father-in-law, you need to take that girl to church. You need to come to my church. Here's my phone number. I gave it to him. And, you know, I'm fishing, right? I'm concerned. Clearly, this guy's not saved. Clearly, this guy does not know church etiquette. He doesn't even know public etiquette. But I'm trying to love on him and encourage him. And I'm telling you guys, when you see stuff like that, you understand. You understand what you see. What came out of Peter when he was there and he was denying Jesus and he swore and all this. Jesus didn't rebuke it for him. What he did is, Peter, do you love me? You know, because what we tend to do is we see the fruits, we see sin in people's lives. We say, why are you talking that way? Why are you unfaithful like that? Why are you violent? Why do you treat your kids this way? You know what? And we look at all of these things that are, you know, really they're fruit of our lives. But fruit comes from a root ultimately. And what Jesus was doing with Peter is, rather than, Peter, I can't believe you were so doubtful and so unbelieving. I can't believe you swore in the garden. I can't believe you didn't pray with me. He didn't do any of that. He understood that if all those things are going to be corrected in Peter's life, it all has to come down to what he's rooted in. Peter, do you love me? Because if you can get that in line right there, church, I'm telling you, your fruit's going to begin to change. The fruit of your life is going to begin to change. And so this is why. So I am concerned about the soul. But you want to know what I want to, I just want to draw your attention. I believe that Jesus saw another thing. Last week I shared this verse with you. This is 1 Peter 2:5. It says, you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. And if you remember what I said about living stones, this isn't just like bricks, okay? You can go, and if you are building a house or you are building a wall or you're building a shed out of bricks, what you can do, I mean, you just get a stack, a pile of bricks out there. You slap some mortar down. You don't even have to look. You just grab a brick and you put it down, and they're all the same. They all fit. That's not the way that God builds his temple. It's not the way that God builds his church. What the Lord does is he's building it with living stones, Peter says. It says, same as our theme verse, is that he's building us together. We're all a part of this family. We're all a part of the kingdom. But guess what? We don't all fit the same. You don't tick the same way I do. You don't think the same way I do. On Thursday night, I tried to get involved with the Hula ministry. I looked at this. I had that dream about the angel and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, man, this is powerful. This Hula ministry is shifting the heavens. And I came. They had a real easy song the first week that I came. But it was like the third week that I came, they were doing some fast, crazy thing, I think, for the prophetic conference. And then I noticed that my hands and my feet can't move that way. It just doesn't. And I had a moment where I'm just like, man, this is powerful, and I see the value in this, and it's beautiful and all of this, but I'm just not built to dance, I guess, you know. But I can talk, I can teach, and I can lead. And what I don't do is get, you know, I don't get upset because I don't, you know, I'm a stone, and I don't fit in that slot, essentially. You understand what I'm saying? What I want to challenge you guys with, I believe as Jesus was walking along the shoreline, as he sees these disciples, as he sees Peter and Andrew and James and John, he sees these boys. He's not just seeing souls that are in need of a Savior. He's seeing living stones that he knows he's going to build his kingdom out of. And I want to encourage you guys, even today after this service, I mean, we've got big vision for where God wants to take us. I think God wants to do some amazing things all across West Maui. I want to be at 2 services before the year is done. I want to be at 2 services, you know, real soon, to be candid with you. But do we have all the stones in place to do this? Dr. Morocco has put it upon us. You know how he is. Oh, I want to plant another church a little further up in West Maui. And so, you know, do we have the stones to do this? And so I'd encourage you, hang around for that meeting. But here's the thing that was dropped in my heart. You're going to hear me talk about, we need help in the nursery, in the OPE room, right? We need more help. We need more people in the media department. We need help in the parking lots and whatever it might be. There's all kinds of needs. And I know immediately we start thinking about, oh, he could help with that or she could help with that. Here's what I want to challenge you with today. I believe that the Lord has living stones that are going to fit into those places, but they're not even in this room yet. I want you to hear me on this. I know I've got guys in this church like Kaleo. He can do offering and he can dance and he can he'll be an usher and he'll be a youth leader and he'll play a guitar and he'll do anything that I ask him to. He'd go work the OPE room if I asked him to. I don't want to ask Kaleo to do that. He's already doing a lot, and I'm very appreciative of it. What I want to do is I want to go walk the streets. I want to go down Front Street and say, God, there is a living stone that's here, and he might not even be saved yet. She might not even be born again yet. They might be rough around the edges, but as I look at them, I see, oh, they've got the gift set. They've got the skill set. They are built to fill a need that is going on in this house. You understand, church, if you look at it the way Jesus does, he's building a temple. He's building a house together. We got holes in the house right now. We got holes in the temple right now. Where do you think this stain came from? I mean, it's really amazing how one little, I mean, I don't even know where it is. I could probably get up on that roof and I couldn't even find where the gap in the shingles in the roof is right now. But the point is, there's something that's out of joint up there. There's something out of place. There's something that needs sealed. There's a hole that needs to be filled. And I'm telling you, the same way that one little hole, I mean, you get just a little bit of rain, and all of a sudden it starts leaking through here. And we're repairing this next week, by the way. You get one little hole in this, and it damages a whole lot. And so this is where I begin to ask, okay, God, I know that you're building something here in Lahaina. And I know that we've got holes and gaps in this ministry. And I'm not just going to look to this 150, 200 people to fill every hole in there, because I know there's people that we work with. There's students in the schools. There's individuals that you're looking to fill these holes. Show me the living stones. Show me the living stones. This is how we need to begin to pray and ask God, what is it? What is it that you're showing us? I love this verse. This is our theme verse here. You're no longer strangers and foreigners. You're citizens along with all of God's people. You are members of God's family. Church, this is what we're really building on the theme of our entire year on this year. And I so want to encourage you this morning. I don't know where you're coming from, but I want you to know you belong here. There is a place for you in this house. Having a conversation, they're not even here yet. Wonderful Hispanic family has begun coming to our church. They're here almost every morning for early morning prayer. Oh, they're serving. Wonderful. That's that. Look, living stones plugged in, you know. But, you know, the mom, what's her name? Patty, she comes up to me on early morning prayer, I think on Thursday, maybe Friday, and she's like, my daughter has been pushing me to come, and I didn't want to. I said, no, I don't want to. No, English isn't my first language. She speaks wonderful English. You know, I don't know what she's just, you know, no, I'm not doing that. No, I don't know. I'm not sure about this and that. And, you know, but as she's coming in and as she continues to come, she's here every Thursday night. She's here, I mean, every the early morning prayer and all this, and they're here. But she starts to see, oh, there's a gap here. Oh, there's something here. There's a need in the children's ministry. Oh, there's a need. I could go clean that in the church. And she starts looking at this, and she begins to see, you know what? She's family. She's family now. And I don't know how new you are to this, and maybe you're visiting with us for the first time. I want you to know what God is building, he's drawing in citizens. You may have been wandering exiles. That's what it said. We all were that at one point in time. We were all the heathen sitting in the boat just doing our own deal, working our own job, about our own business. But there's times and there's moments where Jesus says, hey, I want you to come follow me. I want you to be about my business. And this is the call. And it's not just, I don't know if the thought of building a temple excites you. To be honest with you, it doesn't excite me very much. But I just saw this as I was praying over this verse this last week. I think it's interesting. The Bible highlights, there's no mistakes in the Bible. And every word is there intentionally. And I think it's interesting that it talks about Andrew and Peter and how they were brothers. And then he goes a little bit further on and he sees James and John, and they were fishing with their father Zebedee, brothers. Hanging out with dad. There's a reason that it highlighted all of this family. And I'm telling you, church, God is building not just a temple, not just living stones being joined together. He's building a family. He's building a family. And I hope that as you came into King's Chapel Lahaina this morning, that you felt, that I heard my wife as I was trying to sort out the computer stuff. I hope that you feel like, I've got some family in this place. You may not have a lot of family in the natural. Maybe you've got some family that's here with you today, but I want you to know, if you don't got a single person, a living relative on this earth, you've got a whole family right here. You've got a family right here. So Jesus went fishing. Jesus went fishing, and he went fishing for people. He went fishing. He caught people. He went for souls. One thing, I'm not going to expound on this, but I love the thought. We're going to start, I will expound on this, I changed my mind. We're going to start a Bible school later on this year. We'll revamp a KCU, we'll probably call it something else, but I told Dr. Morocco I would love to oversee this. We need to see the next generation of ministers raised up in Kingsley. If we're going to plant 300 churches by 2020, I'm telling you, we need some new pastors, we need some youth pastors, we need some worship leaders, because I'm not going to send all you guys out across the world. I want some of you to stay living stones right here in this church, okay? And so, we're going to do that. Now imagine, this isn't going to happen, but just imagine for a moment, if you apply to go to KCU or whatever we end up calling, you apply to our Bible college, and I decide, well, you don't know enough scripture, you don't have enough experience, and you don't really look the part. You're not the kind of person that I want to have on stage. No. Denied. Now you imagine if somebody else came along after, you know, we get a dozen people or so that apply to the school of ministry. You all get denied. And then you have somebody else who comes along and says, you know what? You failed to get into that school, but you can come be a part of my school. You understand this is exactly what Jesus did? The process for a young Jewish boy is all of these guys that Jesus had following him would have tried, they would have gone through an educational process, and they would have tried to become a rabbi. They would have tried to be one of these individuals as they were rehearsing scripture, as they were going through the process. Do they look the part? Can they play the role? What Jesus was dealing with were mostly individuals that were rejected. They didn't make the cut. And as Jesus is walking along, he didn't see rejects. He didn't see individuals who weren't good enough, smart enough, didn't have the skill, didn't have the right look or anything. Jesus says, you know what? I see you guys, and even though you're rejected, I'm going to build my kingdom out of you. You're going to be a foundation stone in what I'm getting ready to do. And I just want to encourage you. I don't know where you're coming from. I don't know what kind of reject you are. I don't know what kind of skills you lack. I don't know what kind of brokenness you have in your background. But I'm telling you, there is a place that you fit in this family. Well, that was weak, so I'll move on. So Jesus fished. That's my first point. He caught people. He went for souls. He went for rejects. He was building a temple. He's building a family. And this is the second thing. Jesus cleaned. He called them and he said, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. The emphasis that I want to hang on there for a moment is, he said, I will show you. You know, he says, I'm going to teach you some things. You know, this is an important part about the Great Commission. It's not just about going and hitting the streets and preaching the gospel and handing out invites. I love that kind of stuff. I'm an evangelist to the core, man. I love going after the lost, the broken, the hurting. But then there's this discipleship piece. And Jesus doesn't just go fishing and, I got one. You know, well, I got four here in one day. You know what he did? He says, I'm going to teach you some things. I want you to follow me. I want you to learn from me. I want you I'm gonna go through this. Watch what I do. And now I'm gonna empower you to do it. He was teaching them all along the way. It's good to follow Jesus, but ultimately he wants to get us doing what he's doing. You hear me on that, church? He wants to get us active in doing what he is doing. Another observation I just saw as I was reading this, he walks up to James and John, and who remembers? I won't pull the scripture up, but who remembers what they were doing when Jesus walked up to them? They were working in the boat. They were mending their nets. They were fixing their nets. We could ask Jamie or one of the other fishermen, how well are you going to fish with a broken lure, Jamie? Yeah, he just laughs. Not well. How well are you gonna fish with holes in your net? You're not going to be able to do anything like this. But this is part of the process that Jesus takes us through. As he says, I'm gonna teach you how to be a fisher of men. But in order to do that, we're going to have to fix up your net. We're going to have to fix this broken lure thing that you got going on. We're gonna have to make some things right before I can really release you into the fullness of what you're supposed to. You know, and Jesus will say things like this. You know, you'd be a lot more effective if you weren't so insecure. That was one that he stabbed me with not too terribly long ago. You'd see a lot more miracles if you weren't so prone to fear and doubt. I know these are hard statements, but this is like all preaching to myself right now. You'd have more peace in your life if you loved people a little bit more. You ever heard that one? I would trust you with more if you didn't get offended all the time. If you got offended at that, that one's for you, okay? But I'm telling you, this is the kind of stuff that Jesus will do. You know, I appreciate individuals who will tell me that I got food in my tooth. I appreciate individuals who tell me when my zipper is undone. You know, I know that people, they see this and boy, I don't want to embarrass Pastor. It's embarrassing to get on stage with my fly undone. And if you love me, I'm telling you, if you love me, then you'll tell me this kind of thing. Now, everybody, my fly is fine, okay? You don't see, just stop checking. But I'm telling you, this is the kind of thing, you know, a good friend will do this kind of thing for you. A good friend, and sometimes you don't feel like you've got the liberty in life to be able to go up to somebody. You got a little, some lettuce on your tooth right there. You know, sometimes we don't feel comfortable enough to do that. You got some toilet paper hanging on the back of your shoe, you know. But I'm telling you, when you get close to somebody, and when you really care about the way that they look and the way that they're presented, you'll tell them when something is out of place, won't you? And this is exactly what Jesus does for each and every one of us. Listen, that attitude that you've got right there, you might as well have your fly undone. This is bad. He's saying, I'm gonna expose some things. We need to mend your nets here. If you're gonna be affected, you got some holes in your life, and we gotta get this thing fixed up. Does that make sense this morning? One thing before I go on to the last point is, you know, I feel like there's people, they don't want to follow Jesus because you fear that he's going to take away your dreams, that he's going to take away your desire. I mean, he went to those disciples, didn't he? And they're fishing. They're doing what they're passionate about. They're with their family. I mean, it's wonderful, I'm sure. And some of us, we've chosen, I'm not going to go all in for Jesus because if I do, I'm going to have to lay some things down. And this is just something that's come so strong into my heart over the last couple of years. God doesn't kill our desires. He reorients them. God doesn't kill our desires. He reorients them. Look what he did with these guys. You like fishing, boys? I'm going to use that. You like fishing? I'm going to use that. You like music? I mean, that was the passion of my life before I got saved. I loved music. I played guitar. I played drums. And boy, I was going to be a rock star. I just knew it. And that's what I was pursuing with my life, with my everything. And you know what's been amazing? When I got saved, there were some things that I had to lay down. But as soon as we stepped into that pastoral ministry, I found that, guess what they needed? Almost more than they needed a preacher. They needed some musicians in that house. And so what I did, I didn't just get up. This is a good example of what discipleship looks like. I didn't just get up there and play the guitar. I mean, that's how we started. I played the guitar, and my wife would sing. We were the worship team. But what I did is I just didn't put my skill on display. I began to disciple. So I get a guy, his name was Jason. I'm going to teach you how to play guitar, Jason. He didn't know how to play guitar at all. But I bought him a lesson book, and I began to teach him. I sat down with him once a week, and he was dedicated. He was committed. He would practice. He would study. And next thing you know, he's playing guitar. I'm sitting behind the drum set. And then I get a boy named Landon. I'm going to teach you how to play the drums. And I'd meet with him once a week. And again, he was dedicated. He was committed. He worked hard at this thing. Next thing you know, I'm on the bass guitar. Landon's on the drum. Jason's on the guitar. right? And so now I'm playing the bass, and then I get a knucklehead. And this kid was a knucklehead. His name was Case. And Case came into our ministry, and Case had no leadership equity. He had no value that he could offer the church. I mean, here's a kid who comes from a broken home. Dad's an alcoholic. I mean, just messed up kind of situation. But he found family with us. Case couldn't teach a lesson. Case couldn't do squat, okay? But Case, I'm going to teach you how to play bass guitar. And so I did. I taught him how to play bass guitar. And next news, you know, I'm sitting on the front row, and we've got a full worship team that's going on. And it was just awesome. That's how discipleship is supposed to work right there. It's not, I'm just going to do my job and, hey, watch me play. Watch what I can do. No, it's not, I'm going to do this. I'm going to fill the need. But then I'm going to teach somebody else how to do this as well. It wasn't very long before we had two full separate teams. It was just incredible. And that's exactly what we're doing here right now in Lahaina. Now we've got we've doubled, almost tripled the singers that we've got up here. We got new people playing instruments. And it's just a lot of fun. That's how discipleship works. And so, you know what I found? God didn't kill my desire for music. What he did is he reoriented it. Now I'm able to use the skills and the talents, the things that I'm passionate about, in a way that's going to benefit the kingdom of God. Now my skills and my ability, the natural gifts that God has given me, I'm now able to reproduce in other people. And guess what? Now people are being led into the presence of God Almighty. God doesn't kill your desires. But what he will do is he'll reorient them. I shared about this last week. I won't expound on this, but Paul said, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you would prophesy. And the thing that I love, this is one of my life verses. I pray this every single day. When he says that word desire, you know, most of the time the word in the Greek, zeluo, most of the time that it's used, in fact, every time except for this one, seven other times in the Bible, that word desire is used to describe sin. It's used to describe lust. It's used to describe envy. It's used to describe sinful desire. And what God is saying right here, you look at this word, desire spiritual gifts. The same way that you desired an ungodly relationship, the same way you desire this, the same way you envy this, the same way you're passionate about all these ungodly things. He's not saying kill that desire. He's saying refocus that desire. You're passionate about some things. Now let's aim it the right way and see what I can do with it. Instead of just daydreaming all day, boy, I sure wish that I mean, this is the example that I always use. I wish that I had a big blue house and a blonde and a Beamer and a boat, you know, and we just can, you know, just imagine, oh boy, wouldn't that be fantastic? Instead of just, you know what, I'm not going there with my mind and my passions any longer. Instead, I'm going to say, God, what would it be like if I walked up to that guy with the withered hand in the marketplace and I laid hands on him and saw that thing straightened? God, what would it be like if, man, could you do something like you did with John Wesley, that he preached with such authority that people, he didn't pray for people, they'd get hit by the revelation of God Almighty and they'd fall out under the power of God at the spoken word. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that I daydream about today. Imagine if God could anoint it so profoundly that he begins to move and manifest in that way. Reorient your desires. Reorient your passions. Amen? Well, here's, first of all, Jesus fished. He was catching the lost. He was finding living stones. He's building a family. Second, Jesus cleaned, right? This is discipleship. He's cleaning us up. He's reorienting our desires. And here's the last part. Jesus released. Jesus was willing to release. Jesus called out to them, the same verse, come, follow me. And I'm going to teach you how to fish for people. See, Jesus gave them the mission right from day one. I mean, there wasn't any confusion over what he was asking them to do. You come and you follow me. And you're going to follow me for a little while. But then there's going to be a day where I release you. Where you watch what I do for a while, but then I'm going to send you out. And what you've watched me do, now it's your turn to do. This is what Jesus has done. And you know, there's a measure of trust that comes along with this, you know. This is difficult, church. I don't know if you've ever felt this, but it was difficult. I'll just go back to Case because this is a funny story. I taught him how to play bass guitar. He was barely getting saved by that point in time. And I'll never forget, we went and we had a big joint service with all the youth ministries in town, right? And so, I mean, there was a couple hundred people here. It's the biggest thing by far that he'd ever played in. And he was excited about this thing. I mean, he doesn't have an ounce of humility. He doesn't even know the word humility yet. And so what happens is, I mean, our band was rocking that night. You know, we had all the fun, you know, pumping songs here for the youth meeting. And Case, I don't know why we did this, but we gave him a real long instrument cord. And it's the only one that we had. And so what Case does is, you know, we're all up on stage. And there's the kids out here that are playing. And he's rocking along on his bass. And next thing you know, he starts walking out while he's playing. He starts coming out into the crowd. And, you know, he's like getting up in people and like playing over him. And like, I mean, he'd watched the bar scene and how these guys would do, you know. And so Case, you know, it was afterwards. We had to teach him. Case, no. We're not doing that. And by the way, I've been dogging on Case. One day you guys are going to meet Case. Oh, you're the one that Pastor was talking about. Can I tell you, Case has grown, and he's, I mean, we could tell you stories all day long about the altercation. I mean, Leah was practically mom to this guy in a lot of ways. But we watched his mom get born again. We watched God touch his family. We watched both of his siblings. He was the first one who came in, but we watched both of his siblings get saved. He went to Bible school. This guy became my right hand in so much of the evangelism work that we've done over the last decade. And he got married to a wonderful wife who's a worship leader. You know, they live in Indiana. They serve faithfully in the church. And we watch. I mean, he got to travel around as an evangelist. He did his own preaching and ministry. I mean, this guy today is a highly desirable leader. He came in a dirty, smelly, knucklehead kid who had no taste, who had no tact at all. But what happened is we came in, we discipled, we loved him, we received him. And today, there's people trying to hire, well, be our youth pastor, be our young adults pastor, come lead our evangelism ministry. And it's just amazing. If you take some time with people, it's amazing what God can grow them into. Jesus released. He released. You know, to be honest with you, as I close this morning, I don't know why it hit me. My daughter is getting ready to turn 10 next month. This is mind-blowing, okay? I'm not old enough to have a 10-year-old daughter, all right? But, you know, it's just crazy as I watch her and my son grow up, and they're growing into the people they're supposed to be. You know, they blow my mind, Mariah, with her compassion. At times, you know, she's real hard at times too, and she gets that from me and my wife both. We're both real loving, but there's times that we can be harsh as well. And I just, you know, it's a neat balance. And I'm watching that grow in my daughter. You know, she's a natural born leader. It doesn't matter. You know, we moved to a new place, and within 2 weeks, she's leading the whole group of kids that she's hanging out with. And I'm watching her. They make right decisions. They've got conviction. You know, when somebody's doing something wrong, I mean, they run to us and they tell us what's going on. And you know, I'm watching this. She's growing up. She's getting tall. She's getting prettier every day. I told Leah, we need to at least buy her some ugly glasses or something, because this is it's getting scary, you know. And I'm watching this, you know, and what's in my mind, what's in my heart is, you know what, I've got about 8 years, give or take, that I have left with this little girl. And I have to pour my guts and my life and my love and my heart into her and teach her, you know, this is who you spend time with, and this is what your friends should look like. But there's gonna be a day where I send her. And the thing that frightens me is I already know she's going to do exactly what me and Leah both did to our parents. She's going to leave because she's got adventure in her, and she wants to go and see and build and explore. And I know there's a day that I'm going to have to release her. But until that time, I mean, you know, God gave her to me. I didn't even have to fish for her. God is a gift from God. Now it's my job over these next 8 years now, clean her, to make sure she's the woman that God wants her to be. And there's going to be a time where I release her and I trust her to, where are you going to go to school? You make the choice. How are you going to pay your bills? You make the choice. I trust you to do this. And who are you going to date? And then she's going to have to ask who she's going to date again, because I'm going to kill the first one, I'm sure. Your pastor might go to prison in about 10 years. I don't know. But I have to release her one day. I know that. And I'm already preparing my heart for it. I'm telling you, it's the same way. It's the same way with us right here. I'm excited about what God is going to do here in Lahaina. I'm excited about what he's building here with this congregation. And we've not begun to scrape the surface of what he's going to do. And some of you guys, you know, I don't bring much to the table yet. We're going to get you in here. We're going to get you cleaned up and prepared. And there's going to be a day where you're released to do what God has called you to do. And it's going to be beyond what you think you're able to do. And it's going to require faith on the part of the one who's sending you as well. But you're going to do it. And you're going to do well with it. It's going to be amazing to watch how God is going to, he's going to work in and through each and every one of us. It's a scary moment when we take that first step out, but Jesus did it. And it worked pretty well for him, I think. So this is what we're building to. Jesus, he fished for people. He worked to clean them up. And the last thing is he released them. And that's what by the grace of God he's gonna allow us to do. Amen. Why don't you stand to your feet as I prepare to close this message? Hallelujah. Maybe Shalia, would you come and just get up on the guitar here and give us some music in the background as we prepare to close. I wanna make two applications as we end this today. Okay. First of all, I feel like it's so incredibly important. Maybe you're here this morning and you just wandered into this house. Maybe you're watching online and you're not even sure where you stand with Jesus. You're not even sure if you're born again this morning. I want to pray and I want to give you the opportunity to engage with Jesus exactly what I've been talking about today. You know, Jesus, he's fishing for you. And the fact that you even came within the realm of a ministry like this morning is evidence that he cares about your soul. He cares about your eternity. And he sees value in you. He sees potential in you. What I want to give you the opportunity to do today is to say, you know what? God, I don't know what this is going to look like exactly, but whatever you have for me, I want to step into it. I want to receive it. Maybe you're here, second, and you say, you know what? I love Jesus, but I know that I'm not walking the way that I ought to be. He's been trying to clean me up like you were talking about, and I've been resisting that process. I got some junk. I got some holes in my life. I've got some wounds in my life, and I need Jesus to minister to those things. And if that's you this morning, then you say, I want to submit to that process, and I want Jesus, whatever it looks like and however much it might hurt or embarrass me, I'm willing to do that. The third is, right along the same lines, is maybe you're here and you're like a prodigal. It's not just been one issue. It's not just been one deal that God's been dealing with. But you've really wandered away from the Lord. And you've spent a season where you've not been serving him at all. But today you can come home. You've got family who's willing and ready to accept you, receive you, walk with you. I want you to bow your heads all across this room right now. If any of those three things apply to you, number one, you feel like the Lord is drawing you. You feel like he's been fishing for you and you don't even know how you ended up within the realm of this ministry, but you say, you know what? I'm gonna give in. I'm gonna let Jesus draw me in and I'm gonna step into what he has for me. Number two, if you're here and you say, Pastor, I've been wandering away from the Lord, but I'm ready to come home today. Or number three, you know that he's cleaning you up. You know that he's doing a work on the inside of you. Maybe you haven't given in. Maybe you haven't given yourself to it completely. But today you're saying, I'm going to let Jesus have his way. I'm going to let him wash me and cleanse me and make me whole. If any of those three things are you, nobody's looking around right now. I just want you to lift up your hand so I know exactly who I'm praying for. Amen. God bless you. I see it. I see you. I see you in the back there. Yeah, God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. I want to lead us all in a prayer right now. I want to lead us all in a prayer right now. And listen, this can be the most powerful thing that you've ever prayed in your life. This could absolutely change the trajectory of your life. Or, this could just be words that you speak that have no impact in your life at all. And what's going to make the difference? Do you believe what we're about to say? We're going to ask Jesus to take us, to clean us, to wash us, to make us brand new, to give us a new life, eternal life. If you believe that, and listen, if you live your life as if something's actually changed, it's going to be powerful for you. And if you just say words and you go about your life business as usual, you're going to see very little change. So this is what we're going to do. I want everybody to repeat after me. Pray, dear Jesus, I ask you, Lord, to forgive me. I have sinned. I've fallen short of your holy standard. But I thank you that you love me enough that you're speaking to my heart. You convict me of my sin so that you can clean me up, so that you can wash me and make me brand new. Today, I submit to that process. I ask you to take me, to clean me up, and to send me out. I don't know what that's going to look like, but I thank you that I'm beginning that process. I'm getting back on board with that process. I ask you to be my Savior, be my Lord, be the King of my life, and my very closest friend. I thank you for dying for my sins, for being raised from the dead. And one day, I'm going to join you in eternity, in your glory. I thank you, Lord, for saving my sin, for cleansing me, and making me a new creation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Yeah. Listen, if you prayed that, I know more or less. I mean, I saw who raised their hands, and I know many of you are already plugged in here. But if you're not, listen, if you're visiting with us from somewhere, maybe you're watching online, you're not even a part of this church, my encouragement is almost always the same. You don't belong to this church. I want you to find the most on fire man or woman of God that you know. Who's the most solid one that you know? And you go to church where they go to church, okay? If they're doing good, there's a good chance they'll help you do good. Now, if you live in this area, if it's a possibility for you to come, we got couples that drive 40 minutes every week to come be a part of this church. We've got one that comes every Thursday night, drives over an hour to be a part of this church service because they feel like God is doing something and they're a living stone being placed in this. So if it's possible for you, you might have to drive from the other side, but if it's possible, this is a great place for you to plug in, to get rooted. We're going to help you in that process. Amen. Now, I want to pray one last prayer. In fact, I want you to join hands with the people just right around you there. And how we're going to pray in this moment. Guys, God's going to do some big things in this house. And guess what? He's going to use you. You're a living stone. We're going to find a place where you fit in this place. And so we're going to just pray this final prayer. And what I want you to do, I don't just want you to listen to me pray. I want you to pray for the person on your right and on your left. And I want you to pray that they would feel accepted and received into the family of God, that they would find a place where they're being built in, that God would use them in a great way. Amen? Amen? Let's go ahead and begin to pray for your neighbor right now. Jesus, I thank you for what you're doing here in Lahaina. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the sons and daughters that you've drawn into this house. And God, right now, even as we pray for one another, I just ask by the power of your Spirit that you would meet us, that you would use us, that you would speak to us by your grace and by your power. Oh, in the mighty name of Jesus, I ask that you would equip us, Lord, to be used by you. That God, for those who are just coming into the kingdom, Lord, let us find the place where we fit in. Let us find the place where we are, where we are being fitly framed and formed together. God, I pray that we would find family here amongst friends and relatives. God, I just ask that you would let us feel the acceptance and the welcoming, Jesus, that you even ministered with. Oh, mighty God, we thank you for what you're doing here in this place, the way that you're using each and every one. Oh, we bless your holy name in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen. Well, God bless you, church.